Later this afternoon, President Trump is scheduled to sign orders imposing stiff import tariffs on steel and aluminum. Workers from those industries will be joining him at the White House. Earlier in the day, the president told a cabinet meeting that Australia, Mexico, and Canada may be exempted from the tariffs. Well, our next guest is hoping that any carve-outs or exemptions don't just apply to certain countries. Brett Googe is an executive VP at California Steel Industries. His company imports steel slabs from Mexico, Brazil, Japan. They heat and roll them into a finished product. And unlike many others in the steel industry, executives at California Steel say the proposed 25% tariff on steel imports would hurt them. Brett Googe of California Steel, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you.
So let's do the math. Your company imports about 1.5 million tons of slab steel into the port of Los Angeles every year. So a 25% tax on 1.5 million tons means what to you?
It means a lot of money. And, of course, the situation is that it'll be very difficult for us to pass that on to our customers if it does go into effect.
How much money are you talking about?
Well, I mean, if a slab costs $500, just as an example, you're talking another almost $100 on top of that, or more than $100 on top of that. You know, you're looking at a $125 increase in the price. And when you look at, we can process 400 slabs a day into sheet. It's a lot of money. And remember, that's a per ton price we're talking about. A slab weighs about 25 tons.
Yeah. And how does that trickle down to your customers? I know you make things like pipelines, for instance. What does that mean downstream?
If we absorb that cost ourselves, it's detrimental to our performance. If we pass it on to our customers, it's detrimental to theirs. Our competitors who don't import slabs and don't import steel but may import pig iron, scrap, iron ore pellets as their feedstock do not have any tariffs on those inputs. So they won't have the same cost problem with these tariffs that we will.
So what's your plan? Are you planning for layoffs or something else?
No, we're planning to make it work the best we can. And obviously we'll fight against the inclusion of slabs under the tariff.
Well, why are you so dependent on imported steel for these slabs? Why can't you just get them here in the United States?
Well, we're on the West Coast. We don't have a melt shop here, so we have no ability to make our own slab. So we've existed for almost 34 years on purchased slab. And the suppliers of slab in the United States are few, if any. The companies that can make those slabs are all along the Mississippi River or eastward, and they make them for their own consumption, not to sell as a commercial product on any routine basis. So we've existed on mostly imported slabs for the entire time we've been here. And again, we have to purchase them. We don't have the ability to make them.
So let me just play devil's advocate here. If there are not very many domestic producers making steel slabs now, could this tariff by the president change that, boost the industry, provide incentives that would spur the production that you need?
We'll see. But, you know, our history shows that even in years in the past when they were operating more blast furnaces, they just weren't in the business to support a commercial slab market.
In the past few days, a lot of politicians in Washington and Oslo and also companies have been floating this idea of carve-outs. I know you're calling on the president to exclude your semi-finished steel slabs that you import and rely on. Have you been in touch with the White House? Do you feel confident that anyone would listen to you if you were?
We've had good conversations with various members of the administration. We've met with congressional offices. This has been going on ever since the president first announced that he was going to look at some sort of tariffs or quotas, and we've asked that slabs be excluded. They've heard our message, I think, loud and clear, and we'll see if they go along with that or not.
We know that the East Coast steel companies that you've referenced are in favor of these tariffs. They do something very different than what you do. Is there a tension in your industry between these big legacy companies and people like you?
Yeah, I would say there is some tension. On most things, we agree with our peers in the steel industry, regardless of the model that they have. There's a lot of things we agree on. But in this case, they will benefit by the tariffs and we will not. We've made that clear to them, we have some support within the industry and some others who would oppose our concerns.
Yeah. You know, Brett, it seems like in a way you've been hit from a couple of different sides here. We spoke to you a little over a year ago on this program, and that was, I'm sure you remember, when the president signed an executive order that called for all pipelines in the United States to be built with domestic steel. And that was a concern for your company, just for all the reasons that we've just been discussing, because you import so much steel. It's been a year now since that executive order was made. How is that policy affecting you?
Well, it was never really implemented. I think that's all gotten rolled into this Section 232 plan. So it really hasn't affected us too much at this point. There were some concern early on among customers that they only wanted to buy domestic just in case, but that seems to have passed.
Hmm. Are you surprised now a year into this administration that you have had so many consecutive concerns with the way he's treated your business and your industry?
Well, surprise is one word, I guess. It's been a challenge. But at the end of the day, we're still standing, and we plan to still stand.
Yeah. That's Brett Googe with California Steel. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.